Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. At our paranormal afterlife, my mission is to explore evidence that we continue beyond physical death. These episodes encompass reincarnation, near-death experiences, spirit communication, deathbed visions, and other extraordinary phenomena. And there is an Our Paranormal Afterlife Facebook group, and if you'd like to join, you'd be very welcome. So in this episode, I'm talking to Cassandra Mary Bauer about her near-death experience. Cassandra had a near-death experience when she had a catastrophic car accident. She is founder of Now Level Up. She is a trauma-informed coach, specialist in inner child work and generational trauma, a keynote speaker, and expert in holistic transformation, Reiki, and somatic movement therapy. Hi, Cassandra. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to be talking about your near-death experience and these other things that happened in your life. Could you tell us, where does it all start for you?
I feel like it all starts really from coming into the human experience, from, you know, the moment that I was a little girl, you know, because essentially that was really the root and the core of my trauma, which to me was like the catalyst to my near-death experience.
Would you feel it's a thing where the way that your life played out was planned before you were born?
100%. The more that I have chosen to go deeper into self-discovery and into my healing, every moment I get to what I call in my life these bookmark moments, where I envision myself like walking down this dirt road and I'm just by myself, and I turn around and I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, like that all had to happen. And that was all exactly as it was meant to be in order to get me to this bookmark, to this stop in my life, to this chapter. And I feel like since my near-death experience has become extremely clear.
I wonder if perhaps you're on that path and it's almost like when you're younger, you're in training for when you're older.
I feel that personally. You know, I feel like especially becoming a woman and having these memories come up of being a little girl, it's almost like I'm remembering that I've already been here, if that makes sense to you.
I suppose so. It's tricky, isn't it? You get into all sorts of deep stuff to do with reincarnation, parallel lives, and almost a loop of consciousness going back to your younger self, and you're influencing each other.
I mean, I'm a very big believer in the quantum field. And, you know, as I get older, the more I feel into the beauty of the game, of the levels of the game, of the infinite possibilities of the game, of just even gratitude for my own imagination of what it could be, what the potentials of it could be. And I love just playing in that magic.
You had a brother, Jason.
Yes.
What happened there?
Yeah, so my brother Jason was 10 years older than me. So, you know, growing up, that's a significant difference. He was always this beautiful artist that I looked up to. So kind, so gentle, so loving. But we were raised in a very toxic environment. You know, everybody around us were addicts. They all utilized really unhealthy coping mechanisms. And, you know, obviously back then I wasn't aware of all of these things. It was just my normal. It was our family. And as I got older, I realized that he had a severe drug problem. He was addicted to heroin from, I think, the age 14 to 16. Like, it was when it really started. And for me, I felt so disconnected from that part of him, you know, like it was very separate from me. I was like, you know, like, why is he an addict? Why is he choosing to not be here? You know, I never really understood the root of the disease. But as I got older, and I, you know, have my own experience with addiction and drugs, I started to realize why he was the way he was and why he chose the things he chose. And when I was 25 years old, I was in the thickness of my own addiction, and mine was a pill addiction. And that for me started when I was 11 years old. And that was because I was diagnosed with ADD and ADHD. And I was put on a drug that I say now stole my soul, because it made me run so fast in my life that I couldn't catch up to my higher power. Like my energy, my soul couldn't catch up to the body. But I didn't realize at the time that that was my coping mechanism. You know, like I wasn't, Jason wasn't, my middle brother Blake wasn't, we weren't taught how to feel safe in the human experience. We weren't taught how to feel safe in the human body and how to have healthy coping mechanisms, how to connect to our breath, how to, you know, witness our emotions, our feelings. I say this because it used to feel so separate from me, like his addiction, his character. And then when I was 25 years old, I was working a job to fuel my addiction. And my brother Blake called me, and I walked into the bathroom and I, you know, asked him what was going on. And he basically told me that my brother had overdosed. And in that moment, I felt like my whole world had not only shattered, but in the same breath, everything made sense. Because when I fell to my knees that day, it was like I felt my life for the first time in 15 years. And I realized that Jason was my mirror for a really long time. He was mirroring a deep addiction and sadness and pain that I held in my body too. So that was a really, I call that like a moment that jolted me back into the human experience.
Was it something that kind of jolted you away from the addiction, or did you go more into it because you were grieving and you felt so bad?
Yeah, great question. I really struggled, Simon. Like I had this knowing that I needed to heal, like I needed to stop, but I had no idea how. I had no guidance in my life. You know, everybody around me was in complete denial of their own addictions. And everybody was just so consumed in their own life that they didn't know how to help me. And my desire in the moment, like consciously, was, okay, I need to get sober. So I actually ended up locking myself in my apartment for 3 weeks and getting sober in a very unhealthy way. Now that I look back, it was, you know, I didn't ask for help. I didn't ask for support. And I went through like mental and emotional hell and physical. But there was a deep knowing that I had to get sober. But on top of that, when you go 25 years of your life only knowing unhealthy coping mechanisms, it was really hard for me to sustain it. So after that, it was like my disease, I always like to say it's like the architecture of my disease having to do with addiction, was like, okay, you're not addicted anymore. You know, you're not on pills. And the thing is that my body, my mind, and my soul were still affected by all those years of doing it. And every day that I would drive to work, I would envision myself in this hospital bed, and I would envision myself in pain and hurting and alone, and seeing all of my family members come into the hospital room, seeing all my friends come in and like comfort me and love me and give me all of these things that I felt like I wanted my whole life, because I didn't know healthy ways of getting love. And I feel like those 6 months, as I've reflected, were just like so deeply painful, because I knew I wanted to get sober and I wanted to be in the human experience and I wanted to be here, I just really struggled because I had no idea how.
When you pictured this hospital bed, was it something you consciously imagined and constructed, the whole room and how the bed was? Or did it just kind of come to you in a vision in some way?
Yeah, it was a vision. I've always, you know, it's funny because my name is Cassandra, and ever since I was a kid, everybody's given me, you know, the Greek mythology of my name, and they're like, what a powerful name. And do you know the mythology behind her and how she could predict the future and how she had visions and she was a prophet? And, you know, and I always felt super deeply connected to my name, which, by the way, I wasn't meant to be named Cassandra until like a few days up until I was born. I was supposed to be Alexandria, and my mom's best friend named her child Alexandria. So my mom picked this name, and I felt like it was really fitting because ever since I was a little girl, I have had visions all my whole life. And my mom used to say like, oh my God, this girl, you know, can see into the future. And when I was driving, I didn't feel like I was seeing into the future. I just felt like this was a download. Like this was just something I was envisioning and seeing and essentially creating.
Because I was going to ask you, when you were younger, did you have any spiritual experiences, or was it that you were in a very religious family, or was it that it was your near-death experience that kind of kicked you into this spiritual viewpoint?
Well, I wasn't raised in a very religious family. I was raised in a Jewish family, but we practiced all religions. My mom was really open. And the one thing I will say that I felt really blessed by was my mom was a really big believer in angels and spirit. Like she just felt that when she was little. And when I was younger, now that I look back, I see so many moments that I would be in this beautiful meditation state. And I didn't know what it was when I was a little girl, but looking back now, I see it. But I always had visions. I could see different things when I was younger. I would say it to my mom. I was very connected to my animals. And when they would pass, I would feel them on the other side. But it wasn't something that I practiced in the way that I practice now. And I feel like my near-death experience was what fully pushed me onto the other side.
Was the near-death experience like a big, I don't know, a power-up or a big boost of your spiritual experiences before? And then after it, it's a lot more, I don't know what the word is. I was going to say powerful, but I think saying powerful is the wrong word. It's more energy or more insightful?
Yeah, you know, when I had that near-death experience, you know, I'm going to kind of back up just a little bit because just to like give you the viewpoint of how that happened is 6 months after Jason died, you know, I thought that I was strong enough. I thought that I was in a new space in my mind. And I ended up getting behind the wheel of a car and driving down the highway. And as this car wanted to, you know, get into my lane, I ended up turning the wheel to the right and accelerating into a ditch. And I flipped 7 times, you know, hit a tree and flipped over a 5-foot fence. And in that moment, it was like I heard in the back of my mind, you know, that I'm ready to play. Like I'm ready to play this game. And having that experience of, for me, going into what I call heaven, you know, this beautiful, serene, light, white, bright space, and seeing my brother, Jason, on the other side, it was like everything in that moment downloaded into my consciousness, like the understanding of life, the reason why we're here, the way we should feel in our body while we are here. As like the gift of having the body and the human experience. And the like most beautiful part I say about the fairy tale of that near-death experience is Jason being there and telling me that I wasn't alone, but that I was to create a channel to allow everyone to know that they are not alone. And so when you say like, was that like a big power up? It's funny because I literally created a company called Now Level Up, which is all about leveling up your life in every now moment. because that's what I realized afterwards, that every moment we have this conscious choice to be in a higher perspective, to understand things at a higher perspective.
When you were in that space with Jason, was it like a place of light, a spiritual space? And did he look a lot younger and healthier?
You know, it was so light. It was so angelic. It felt like you were just, you know, walking on air. And I say that because I think throughout the years, what I've realized is what it felt like was all the trauma, all the generational trauma, the personal trauma, the childhood trauma, all of the emotions that I swallowed throughout the years and suppressed, it was gone, you know, like it was lifted energetically from the human body. And I was just there. I was just existing with him. And in that moment, when I saw him, he actually looked exactly the same as when I said goodbye to him, like the last time I had seen him at the funeral. But since my near-death experience, that vision has completely changed. Like in the years of my evolution in physical form, he looks completely different now when I see him. He has a completely different representation of his body. And I connect with him very much on the other side about how happy he is around how he looks and how he flows in this other world.
And so it wasn't just the connection to him in the near-death experience that continues to this day.
Oh, every day in all my moments, everybody who knows me, he shows up for them. I've got like, I have people who call me and they're like, Jason's with me. And it's so beautiful because he was always such a protector in the physical realm. And he's just as much a protector now in the non-physical.
Does he almost act like a guide or a go-between on the other side that kind of works with you? Like, your partners, you do your side of it over here and he does his side of it over there.
100%. I feel like when people ask me about that, they're like, you know, like, how did it start? You know, like, how did you start really being aware of him being on the other side? And my first, other than the accident, obviously, the beautiful part is, like I told you in the beginning, he was this artist. And when I started to get anxiety attacks, when I came back into this world, I would say out loud, Jason, like, I need you to paint me something to like, know you're here, like paint me something. And he started painting me purple flowers. So when I have anxiety, I'll be like, Jason, I need a purple flower. And I'm telling you, Simon, I was out in the desert. Okay. I'll give you a couple examples. I was out in the desert this 4th of July and I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's 120 degrees out with my dogs. And my wife went on a walk and she's very aware he paints them for her too. And I was sitting down writing in my journal and she walks outside for like 5 minutes. She goes, you won't believe this. I'm like, what? She comes in with a bouquet of plastic purple flowers. And she goes, Jason left these outside for you in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, oh my God, I love him so much. Last week, I went to, I forgot where it was. It was a grocery store, random grocery store while I was driving. And I grab a cart and I pull the cart out and there's a plastic purple flower just in the cart. And I just started laughing because I'm like, I like look up and I'm like, you know me so well. I love you so much. And he has a way of creating to let me know I'm safe and let me know that I'm not alone, which is exactly the message he gave me on the other side, was that I was to remember that I am not alone.
And did he say anything about what's happening being part of the plan?
You know, his exact words were, you are not alone, but you are to create a channel to allow everyone else to know that they are not alone. But you have to remember that you are not alone. And you know, that to me was a huge understanding of purpose and what the plan was, because every moment since then, Simon, that I've wanted to give up, that I've wanted to throw in the towel, that I thought that I was insane, that I thought I was going crazy, moving through all these inner levels of myself, expanding in the ways that I've expanded, really integrating the wisdom that I have, I haven't been able to depend on my external reality. The only thing that I've been able to depend on is my internal knowing and my connection with spirit. And he's there. And every time I don't feel alone in that way, it gives me that courage and that bravery to continue going in the ways that I do. And the way that I create and I help people and and that I'm of service to this world, it takes a lot, as I'm sure you know.
What happened when you came back, or how did you come back? Did he just say to you, okay, you've got to go back now? And that was it, you were back.
Well, so after he had said that, I was hugging him and holding him and begging him not to leave me. And I opened my arms, and to me, I fell backwards through the clouds. And when I woke up, I was in the hospital. And the most ironic part about it was like, I felt like he didn't want me to let go, but he knew that it wasn't goodbye. And he, you know, through the years and connecting with him and feeling into him and listening to him, it's like he knew out of my family, out of the people in his life, that I would be the one that would be so thirsty to continue to like investigate and study and figure it out and know more and connect more, that like I wouldn't give up. I'm a very disciplined person. So, but you know, it's ironic because when I woke up in the hospital, I was actually alone. So when I woke up in the bed, I was like, you know, I understand that the character that I've been playing just isn't working anymore. And I knew that I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice of like, who am I going to become while I'm back here? You know, like I have a choice that I could either fall asleep and, you know, keep playing the game unconsciously, or I could really wake up to my life and start being a co-creator with the universe.
And the hospital bed you were in, was it like the one that you had the vision of?
It was exactly to the T. And like when people talk to me now about being the creator of your reality, and when I started on my, you know, on my awakening, I had these moments of just radical awe that I was like, oh my God, I literally created it, you know, because subconscious programming, right? Reprogramming is all about focus and energy, and all of my energy and all of my focus for 6 months between his death and mine was about me dying. It was literally about me being in that hospital bed until I created it.
And the police, did they say that the accident was so bad that they didn't know how you survived?
Yeah. Well, if anybody sees that car, I mean, that's another part of the whole accident. Was I actually that night or that day, I had parked my car at my parents' house and I took their car, my mom's car, without asking. And I did that because I was in an unconscious space in my life. And, you know, I was not in a place of awareness or who I am now. And her car, the space between my head and the roof was like double the size than in my car. And when we went to the police station after I got out of the hospital, the police officers walked up to us, to my mom and I, and said like, oh, that you're the girl from the accident. And I was like, yeah, that's me. And they were like, you know, you really should have died. And I was like, oh, thanks. And they were like, no, seriously, like with the way that that car was, like if you were in any other car, you would have died instantly because your neck would have snapped. Like, we're really surprised that you're alive. But then they said, but we have a question. And my mom and I were like, yeah. And they go, who's Jason? And right when they said that, my mom's eyes like filled with tears and my whole body filled with chills. And I was like, why are you asking that? And they said, well, because when we got to you, like a truck driver behind me had pulled my body out of the windshield because I was upside down. And they said that I was in a full-blown conversation with someone named Jason and that I was screaming for him and that they thought that he flew out of the car. So they were searching the surrounding area.
And did you visit the crash site? Did you want to see what happened, what it looked like there?
Yeah. And that was another kind of, not kind of, but that was another huge clue as to you know, just being back in this physical reality and the magic that actually exists in it. Because when we went back to the accident, we actually went the same day. And it was because all my belongings had fallen out of the car. And, you know, we just wanted to understand like what that actually looked like. And when we went back, I was walking up towards the tree that I had hit, and there's a huge gash on the side of the tree missing from, you know, the car. But I see this piece of paper like lodged into the tree, but like literally in the tree. And I started to walk up to the tree, and my mom's yelling behind me, you know, what is that? And I'm like, hold on, I don't know. And I ended up pulling it out, and it actually had to do with my brother's death certificate. And I just like stood there shaking. And it was because I took my mom's car and she had it in her glove compartment. So for me, it was like this moment of recognition that Jason was like, yes, like you are understanding more and more.
It's amazing how these things come together. And it's almost like you couldn't make it up.
No.
It's almost like it's a clue for you, almost like Jason might have been thinking, well, she's not going to believe it. I'm going to have to put a couple of things in there that really make her think about this.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I swear, Simon, like I have the biggest smile on my face because I love having this conversation with you, because it became fun, because I felt like he was just leaving me these mystical and magical clues. And, you know, this world has such a, you know, a way of programming us to feel like, you know, we could be crazy for seeing things, you know, that we can't see with our physical eye, or, you know, that we just feel like we have a knowing, an intuition, a gut instinct. We, you know, and can see through certain veils. But I knew, like I had a knowing now that I was playing a totally different game, and that it had made it, it didn't matter what anybody else thought at all. I was completely convinced from the second that I was in that hospital room. I told my mom, like, this is what happened. I saw Jason. This is what he said. Da, 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 da. And, you know, at that time, my mom had just lost her son, just almost lost her daughter, you know, just like trauma after trauma after trauma. And she just, you know, she's like, whatever you say, you know, I don't want to hear it, you know. And then when the police said that to her, she was like, oh my God. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Wasn't there a time you were in a shop and there was a woman there that started talking about near-death experiences?
Yes. And it was almost like a week after. I was actually at Whole Foods with my mom, and I was still wearing a hat. I was wearing a winter cap to cover my bruises and, you know, my head. I still had cuts on it from the accident. And I was standing in the produce aisle with my mom, and it was literally like magnetic. This woman just migrated over to us. Meanwhile, we're not in the same town. We're towns away. We're in my like hometown now. And this woman comes up, and my mom and her start talking about produce. And I start to see this figure around her head. And I don't know what it is. I started seeing figures a lot and energy in a different way after the accident. But she went on to tell my mom that she was actually a neurologist at the hospital that I had just died at. And my mom was like, oh my God, she just literally was in a horrible car accident. She had a near-death experience. And the woman looked at me and she was like, you had a near-death experience. And I looked at her and I was just really sensitive at that point. And I'm extremely sensitive now, but I didn't understand it fully then. And I said, yeah. And she ended up telling me about IANS and, you know, about near-death experience. And I was getting super uncomfortable. Like, I just couldn't take it all in. It felt like my system was like overloading. So I ended up like, I was seeing figures around her head, and I ended up turning around and excusing myself. And I walked away, and I was in this total internal experience being like, what is happening to me? You know, like I was really going through a huge metamorphosis in my internal world. And she comes up to me and she grabs the back of my arm, and I turn around and she goes, did you see a figure around me? Like, I have worked with a lot of people like you, like, did you see my father? He passed away recently. And I just started crying, like bawling, because I couldn't like hold my emotions in anymore. I just knew that something was really different and something was changing in me, but I just had no idea what. You know, it was like the beginning stages of this awakening and I didn't have language for it. So at that point, I reached out to my brother, Blake, who was living in Australia at the time. And he had friends that were in this kind of realm of like clairvoyance and mediums. And I just had said, you know, Blake, something's happening to me and I don't feel like I can share with many people. Is there anybody that you could reach out to for guidance? And he ended up calling me back and telling me that he reached out to one of his friends and that I had to make a choice, that like spiritually, I was teetering the line of spirit and my old life and being asleep and waking up, and that I had to make a conscious choice and choose into this new life and either invite it in a conscious way, in a healthy way, or shut it down. And after he told me that, something clicked in me. It was like, I got it. And I ended up consciously choosing to awaken to whatever gifts, whatever spirits, whatever healthy spirits, whatever ancestors, whatever life was trying to make its way through me, and not resist it.
And so you have a connection with spirit then? Is it that you see them around you, or is it almost like mediumship? Or would you say it's something different?
No, I would definitely say mediumship. I mean, I see my dad all the time. I see my brother. I see it's, and it's not just family or ancestors or people who have passed away. The relationship that I feel like I've gathered with spirit is the knowing in myself that there's such a thin veil that separates us and them. And it's about healthy communication. You know, if I feel or sense or see a spirit that feels almost like somebody who's in the human experience, who's, you know, shut down or not communicative or, you know, angry or whatever it might be, I communicate with them just as I would with somebody in the physical realm. And it's a really beautiful bridge that I get to play with. But yes, I see spirit all the time. I talk to spirit. Yeah, I feel like it's like, it's not even like a separation of my life. It's a huge part of my life.
And is this a service that you offer, like mediumship? Is this part of Now Level Up?
Well, with Now Level Up, it's more of like a training program. And what I mean by that is I help people feel safe in the human experience and come back to the now moment. And in order to do that, I call myself and have for a while now the perfect mirror, because I can only take people as deep as I've taken myself. And when I work with people, I see through the lines. I see the things that need to connect. I see a radical different perspective than people have of their life. And I paint a very different picture for them and a roadmap on how to basically get back to the present moment in a safe place and create the reality that they want to live into. And I also specialize in childhood trauma and parts work, and also generational trauma, because that is what essentially really brought me back to the present moment, was really working with those levels. And then somatic movement therapy. But the way that I integrate mediumship is seeing things that other people can't see, and then calling in people on the other side to help me with that, whether they've lost somebody or it's one of my angels or my guides. But I bring all of that beautiful energy into the space that I help people. I call it kind of like the bridge between two worlds, like spirit and earth.
And so is it almost like you can bring in specialists or consultants? And if somebody's having a particular problem, you can call in a spirit who's also had that problem and can help with that?
Yeah, you know what? I love how you put it like that. It is very much like that, because, you know, people, I actually want to share this story with you because I think that you'd really love it. When I started Now Level Up, you know, this world, I like to say that I work with a lot of people who are system disruptors, who are here to create a totally different world, you know, one that isn't from corruption or you know, unhealthy programs. And this one moment, this woman came into my office in Los Angeles, and she was like, you know, very to the book, you know, like the degree, the, you know, I need to see the picture on the wall. I need to understand what school you went to. And she had just met me at a networking event, and she was so blown away with the concept of Now Level Up and just who I was as a person and what I taught. And we're sitting in the office, and she goes, so what is your, where is your knowledge from? Like, what is your experience from? And I looked at her in the eyes, and I like really gently and slowly bent down and started to untie my shoes. And she was super confused, and it was really beautiful for me to watch. And I slowly undid my shoes, and one by one, I like slowly put it up on the desk in front of her. And I just took my pen, and I like went back to my notebook, and I turned and looked at her and smiled. And the smile that came over her face is something I'll never forget, because it was in that moment that she full on knew exactly what I was talking about. And she ended up crying in that moment and saying, I can't believe that you just did that, because her mother had passed away. Her mother was like the person that taught her to be this like logistical person by the book, only trust people with degrees and go to school, and pushed her to do the same. And she had a lot of trauma from that. But she looked at me and she was like, I felt her. I felt her like put her hand on my heart and say, like, she's walked this path. Like, she is the mirror for you. And she goes, you called her in. And I said, well, this is what this container is about. It's bridging heaven and earth. It's feeling safe enough in this presence to feel the connection of both. And she just started hysterically crying. And I hold on to that moment so dearly, because it's just, I say, it's just like calling in all the angels to support safety and growth and evolution and expansion in this world.
When you're moving forward with the Now Level Up, you're bringing other things into it, aren't you? Is it the t-shirts? Because I was looking at your site and it looks like there's some great t-shirts. I was going to say logos. They're not logos, are they? They're messages?
Yeah. So they're actually, that's actually how Now Level Up was birthed into this world. And all of the handwriting on the t-shirts for Now Level Up are in Jason's handwriting, because one of the biggest parts of like my evolution with Jason and his death was after he died, between the time that he died and I died, I ended up, another beautiful story of Jason is being in my apartment that I had just moved into with my partner at the time. And we were, you know, we still had boxes. So we had like a lamp on top of a box as like, you know, like a side stand for our couch. And I'm sitting there just really sad, you know, feeling a lot. And we were cooking, and I somewhat knocked the lamp over, and I was like, ugh, I'm like, you know, I was frustrated. I was like, I'm going to take this lamp off. I'm like, what is in this box anyway? And I opened the box, and on top of the box was a journal that Jason gave me. It was like probably the only present in my whole life that he had given me, because he wanted me to draw and write and doodle. And he wrote a passage in the front of that journal that I now have tattooed on my arm. But it said, to my awesome sister, Cassie, bless this world with your inspiration and beauty, and all will fall into place and make no sense at all. I'll always be here. Love your brother, Jason. And it gives me chills now, because now that I think about it, it's like nothing ever makes sense until it makes sense. But that night I intuitively thought to look up what Jason, what that name meant, like what the origin of his name meant. And it actually in Hebrew translates to healer. So one of the things that I loved about that journal was his handwriting. I was like, how do I keep Jason alive in Now Level Up? And so I hired a woman to construct an alphabet that I call Jason Typeface. And it's everything in the company, to my business cards, to the sign on my office, to t-shirts, are all in his handwriting, even up to like my website, like the some of the font on my website is all his handwriting. And as for the clothing company, when I did actually, after my near-death experience, I ended up moving 3,000 miles away from Chicago. And I knew that I needed to heal. I knew I needed to understand whatever had just happened to me. And the beauty of Now Level Up and how it was created was really from my healing, like the beginning of my healing. I had this moment where my mom, who was a huge source of my suffering, called me, and I was in a full-blown trauma response, and I threw the phone on the bed and I pulled out paint because Jason taught me to paint, and I pulled out an old t-shirt and I ended up painting on the t-shirt, "The war is over." And I looked in the mirror in my room and I started painting mantras on the mirror and reciting them to myself, because what I realized, being so far away from what I call like my trauma, like my core wounds, was that I could actually feel my soul wanting to dissociate from the human body. Like I could actually feel the back and forth pulling in my body, and I needed something to anchor me. And it was the shirt. It was me painting on it. So in that moment, I was like, okay, how do I keep this going? Like, how do I just get out of this trauma response? And instead of isolating, which I always did, I ended up driving to Whole Foods because I love Whole Foods. I love like healthy food. And I walked into the grocery store, and Simon, everybody was giving me like peace signs and being like, "I love your shirt. Oh my God, it's so cool." Like, you know, but I started to notice this like energy exchange between souls. Like, wow, I'm a mirror that like they're okay, that they don't have to be at war with themselves. And as I was walking out of the grocery store, this guy walked by me and like kind of snarled under his voice, like, "Oh yeah, the war is over." And it was like in that split second, I felt my higher power channel through me, and I grabbed his hand in passing and pulled it onto my heart. And I put my hand on his heart, and I just centered and looked him in the eyes and was like, "It is, brother. I promise. We just have to choose for it to be." And he just broke down crying in a billion, like literally just like broke down crying in my arms. And he's like, "I'm so sorry. That was my shit. I was like projecting onto you." And that day, him and I ended up sitting on the corner at Whole Foods, just opening our hearts to each other, letting out our emotions, not swallowing and suppressing and numbing and escaping the human experience, but actually connecting in it. So that day when I was driving home, I literally said to God, to my higher power, to source, to the divine energy of my own understanding, I said out loud, "This is something. There's something coming through." And that was like the seed of Now Level Up. And it ended up birthing into a positive mantra shirt company. And then from there, it evolved into a private practice. And I created a program from my own healing and my own healing modalities that has grown over the past, over a decade now.
And since you've had the near-death experience, has anything come to you that's new? Any new memories of what happened there?
Not so much in the space with Jason, but I will say actually a big realization I have had. One of the biggest things that I've realized coming back into the human experience is that for years I had a hard time differentiating my higher power and Jason, meaning I felt like all these years, it's only been like I gave a lot of power to Jason for guiding me and saving me and all these things. But over my evolution, what Jason has actually taught me is that he's part of the ride too, and that he had a higher power and he had a higher journey, and that I have a higher power and I have my own journey. And that was something that was really hard for me to differentiate in the beginning. And now has become really clear to me through his guidance and through his teachings, which has been a really beautiful evolution of my own.
And you had this near-death experience, and it was such a profound experience. It seems that it's changed your life path in such a positive way. Do you feel that sometimes that's why people have a near-death experience? Maybe the spirit world's looking down on them and thinking, we've got to do something.
I'm a huge believer in that. I feel like we come to our light, to these moments in our life where I say, like, we hit a wall. And I think, you know, even Jason dying was me hitting a wall. And sometimes I do feel like we really need to be shaken in order to wake up, because I do feel like we all have these beautiful stories to write, to continue to walk through, because I do feel like there's so many books written in all of our lives, you know, so many chapters, so many stories, and that sometimes we get stuck. Like, I feel like I was really stuck, you know, in the same story, in the same book for a really long time. And I do feel like my higher power and Jason were like, you're ready, you're ready. I even feel that at other times in my life, but then like having a near-death experience, I feel like is the biggest blessing and biggest gift. And like, I feel like crying right now, because when I really tune into it and tap into it, it was like the biggest blessing. And I could have gone two different ways. You know, you can go two different ways. You can choose to not let it affect you, or to just it be another day or another experience, or you could choose consciously for it to be like the catalyst to your awakening, to like really living a different life.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Can you give us the web address for Now Level Up, and you know how people can find you?
Yeah, of course. My website is www.nowlevelup.com. And, you know, you can play around on the website and, you know, feel into it if you're guided there. And I also offer up a free discovery call just to sit in space with me. And it's not like a salesy call. It's just really to share the message of what, you know, what I feel blessed to be here as, which is to allow people to know they're not alone on their journey. And then, you know, I have Instagram, which is, you know, just my full name, which is Cassandra Mary Bauer. I also have a children's book out called I Am Magic, which is a children's mantra book. They can, you know, look me up. And I also have a physical practice in New York. So
fantastic. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's been such a pleasure. And I really appreciate the work that you do in this world and the mirror that you are.
Thank you. And that was an interview with Cassandra Mary Bauer about her near-death experience. And if you wanted to support this podcast, a great way to do it is to sign up to Patreon, where you get access to the extended episodes. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review. And be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.